Tom, I recognize the music, and it is appropriate. That is the theme from the Bob Newhart Show, and we are featuring Bob Newhart tonight.
That's right.
However, I do like to start with my own theme music. I mean, that's I wrote it. I play it. That's what it's there for.
Bob, I don't know if you're aware of this, but those of us who are members of the Engineers, Technicians, and Wire Strippers Local 387, we have got a little more power than you think. We have some decision-making power up here, and I have decided that your dumb theme is just inappropriate, and we're going to play this.
Tom, listen. I don't know what to say, just... How about Pretty Please? Please? I mean, please? Please?
Don't whimper. Oh. All right.
Thank you, Tom. I do appreciate it. I know the union. I don't want to get in trouble with the union, but thanks a lot. I do appreciate it. Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, presented every Friday night here at 7:30 on KCRW. And tonight we're going to listen to Bob Newhart, as you may have guessed by now. And although most people know Bob Newhart from his television series, especially the Bob Newhart Show, which featured Suzanne Pleshette, was one of my favorite television shows ever. He actually came to prominence back in the late 50s, early 60s, with some comedy records that he made, and they're very, very clever. One of the things that he was great at, I'm not sure if we'll get to any of the routines that feature it tonight, but one of the things he was terrific at was talking on the telephone. He really made you feel, made you hear the other end of the conversation, and he did that, he still does that on his TV show from time to time. Anyway, we're going to hear some of his comedy now. You know, originally he was an accountant. Very few people know this now, but he was a certified public accountant in Chicago, I believe. So, anyway, then he became a comedian. Let's listen to, and I'm glad he did. Sounding awfully disjointed tonight. Let's go to the comedy. This is Bob Newhart's routine about driving instructors.
As I said, there was a thing in the paper tonight about documentaries, and I've had an idea for a long time for what I think is a wonderful documentary, which has everything. For instance, you go to work, you come home at night, and you never really think about it. It's mechanical, it's routine. But there are a group of men who every day, when they go to work, never know if that night they'll return, because they face death in 100 different ways. And I'm talking about America's driving instructors. And I'd like to present the first episode in the new TV series called The Driving Instructor. Now, I'd like to have you picture, if you would. This is a car. I'm the driving instructor, and seated next to me is a woman driver. How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75? And where was that? In your driveway. How far had Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see, you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping? What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's right. Oh, that would do it. You're right. That would do it. All right. You want to start the car? Mrs. Webb, you just turned on the lights. You want to start the car? They all look alike, don't they? I don't know why they design them that way. All right, let's pull out into traffic. Now, what's the first thing we're going to do before we pull out into traffic. What did Mr. Adams do before he let you pull out into traffic? Well, I mean, besides praying, let's say. No, what I had in mind was checking the rearview mirror. You see, we always want to check the rear... Don't pull out! please don't cry. I'm sorry. But there was this bus, Mrs. Webb. All right, the lane is clear now. You want to pull out? Oh, no, that wasn't bad at all. You might try it a little slower next time. All right, let's get up a bit more speed and gradually ease it into second. Well, I didn't want to cover reverse this early. But as long as you've shifted into it... of course you're nervous. I'm nervous. I'm not just saying that. I'm really very nervous. Well, just don't pay any attention to their honking. You're doing fine. You're not blocking anyone's lane. No, as long as you're here on the safety island, you're not blocking anyone's lane. All right, you want to start the car? While you're turning the lights off, why don't you turn off the heater? All right, there we are. Let's get up a bit of speed. That's the way. Now, let's practice some turns. The important thing on turns is not to make them too sharp. Just kind of make a gradual... Well, now, that was fine. That was a wonderful turn. It's hard for me to believe you only had two lessons after you make a turn like... Are you sure you haven't had more now? Well, I find that very difficult to believe. One little thing... this is a one-way street. Well, no, actually it was partially my fault, you see, but you were in the left-hand lane and you were signaling left, and I just more or less assumed you were going to turn left. same to you, fella. No, I don't know what he said, Mrs. Webb. All right, let's pull into the alley up there and practice a little alley driving. This is something a lot of the schools leave out that we think is pretty. You're going too fast, Mrs. Webb. You're up around 60, and it's kind of a sharp turn there. All right, let's just drive down the alley. That's the way, Mrs. Webb. Maybe we better stop here. Well, I don't think you're going to make it between the truck and the building. Mrs. Webb? Mrs. Webb, I don't think you're going to... Mrs. Webb! I really didn't think you were going to make it. That just shows you we can be wrong, too. No, I'll get out on your side. That's all right. Mrs. Webb, maybe it might be a good idea if we went over to the driving area. They have a student driver area over a few blocks away, and maybe traffic throws you. Maybe that's the problem. Well, turn here on the street, right, and it's only about a block up. All right, turn right here. Well, now, that was my fault again. You see, I meant the next street. not this man's lawn. Sir, would you mind turning off the sprinkler for just a minute? Newly seated? Is that right? That's always the way, isn't it? Well, I don't suppose it is so damn funny. All right, Mrs. Webb, you want to back out and get off the man's creeping bend, is that right? Just back out, Mrs. Webb. Thank you very much, sir, for... Oh, now we hit someone, Mrs. Webb. Remember, you're going to watch the rearview mirror. Remember, we covered that. The red light blinded you. The flashing red light blinded you. The flashing red light on the car you hit blinded you. Yes, officer, she was just telling me about it. All right. Mrs. Webb, I'm going to have to go with the officer to the police station. they don't believe it, and they'd like they'd like me to describe it. And now the other officer is going to get in the car, and he's going to drive you back to the driving school, and then you're to meet us at the police station. My name is Frank Dexter. Why do you ask? You want to be sure and get me next time? I was watching television, and it was a John Wayne war movie. I guess they're all John Wayne war movies. Do you ever think how close we came to losing the war if he hadn't been with us? But I don't want to tell you the plot of the thing, because I hate people who do that. But we win it, you see. Now, my problem is that I want to start talking about airplanes right now, and there is no logical way to get out of what I was talking about and talking about airplanes. And you should always tie things in together. So I will try this. In the war movies, they always had that one shot of the dogfight with the airplanes. Speaking of airplanes, I recently flew out from Chicago, and I don't enjoy flying at all. I'm one of those ones, first of all, who gets on stoned, you know, right away. Secondly, I usually sit in the lounge, and I whimper all through the flight. And I look out the window, and I turn to the guy who's sitting next to me, and I'll say, this flying is really amazing. I said, the people, they look like ants down there. And he'll say, those are ants, you idiot. We haven't taken off yet, you know. But anyway, there's a logical explanation for why I don't fly. I took a non-scheduled airline one time. I was in the Army, and I wanted to go to Hawaii on a 3-day pass. But I didn't have a lot of money, and they were running ads at the time. And one ad read, take a chance on the Mrs. Grace L. Ferguson Airline and Storm Door Company, see? So it gave an address, and I went out to this address, and it was this woman's home. And she had a little counter set up in her living room, and we had to go up to the John to weigh our baggage, I remember. And then we all got in her Volkswagen, and she drove us out to the airport. We got aboard this DC-1. After we were out about 2 hours, a captain came out. He gave one of those addresses they all give. And I'll never forget it, and this is why I don't fly anymore. It came out like this. You're the navigator. You ought to be able to figure out where the hell we are. Good evening. I'd like to welcome you aboard the Mrs. Grace L. Ferguson Airline and Storm Door Company. I don't know how much you know about our airlines. We've only been in business about a week. Our airline was founded on the philosophy that what the American public was really looking for was a low-cost overseas transportation. We have attempted to eliminate what we call in the airline business frills and extras, like maintenance and radar and a whole bunch of technical instruments up in the... Boy, have you ever had one that hangs on for about 4 or 5 days? I don't mind the headaches too much, but it's that damn double vision that just... Oh, incidentally, I want to apologize for your having to stand all the way. If I can give you a little tip there, every half hour or so, you want to alternate your arms through those straps above your head. You folks flying tourists, you don't have any straps. Uh, so don't bother looking for them. Well, we're going to have a little drill in a few moments by our two stewardesses, Trixie and Bubbles. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Watson and Miss Savage. And they'll show you how to put your life jackets on. There really isn't that much to it, but a lot of people get them on backwards. And, well, that way you're going to wind up with your face in the water. If we should have to ditch, you'll receive plenty of warning because our co-pilot becomes hysterical. And he'll start running up and down the aisles, yelling, you know, we're going to crash or something like that. Actually, he gets kind of panicky, and it isn't always too easy to understand him. At least it hasn't been in the past, anyway. So if you see him running up and down the aisles and you can't make out what he's saying, you might slip into your life jackets to be on the safe side. I'd like to answer some questions that you may have about the airline. It's the woman right here. Ma'am, if I may, I'll repeat the question so everyone can hear it. If we should ditch, how long would the plane remain afloat? Was that your question, ma'am? golly, that's awful hard to say, ma'am. Some of them go down like a rock, you know? And then, I don't know, for some reason or other, others will stay up for, 2-3 minutes. Sir, if I may, I'll get your question next. I want to get the gentleman's way in the back there. Sir, could you kind of speak up a little bit? I can't hear you over the roar of our engines. Maybe, you know, if you just... Oh, wait, they stopped now, sir. Harry, the engines went out again. It's the third button on the left, I think, here. Hold it, Harry. The cabin lights are going out. Try the third button on the right. That's got him. You want to try the question again, sir? Sir, I'm sorry. I still can't make out what you're saying. Oh, well, sure, all right, you can try it that way, it may work. First word. Sounds like running. Sounds like racing. Track and field. Ran. Oh, it sounds like ran. Man. A lot of man. A whole bunch of men. Oh, men! Men, it's right behind you there, sir. I'm glad I took your question ahead of this gentleman's over here. I really have to get back in the cabin now. We have it on automatic pilot, but the damn thing keeps kicking in and out all the time, and we never really know if it's on or not. Oh, one of the reasons I came out here, I nearly forgot. Have any of you ever been to Hawaii before? This gentleman right here. It's kind of liver shaped, isn't it, sir? Sir, as we're coming in, would you mind very much stopping by the cabin and kind of pointing it out to us? We sure appreciate it. Thank you very much. I hope you have a very pleasant trip. Thank you. This has happened to me, I bet, 4 or 5 times, and I'm sure it's happened to most of you. You're invited to someone's house you haven't seen for some time, and they have a dog. They have a large, vicious dog, you see. But they've had this dog since it was a puppy, and they're very proud of it, and they're completely unaware of the fact that it's now a large, vicious dog, you see. And you're kind of on the horns of a dilemma, because you don't know, you know, you don't want to offend the guy by appearing ill at ease, and at the same time, you don't want to get eaten alive by this large monster, see. So you're invited to the guy's house, and usually it winds up the evening going something like this. Oh, gee, this is a real nice place you got out here, Harry. Gee, I love this chair. Modern, isn't it? Yeah. It seemed kind of lonely out here, you know. There aren't too many houses around. I imagine it gets kind of lonely at night, doesn't it? Oh, you have a dog, do you? Oh, sure, I'd love to see him. Where is he? In the backyard? Sure, let him in. Oh, Hi there, fella. Hi. Hi, boy. Boy, he's a lot heavier than he looks, isn't he, Harry? Well, he can keep you pinned to the chair like that with just his two front paws. You just feed him, did you, Harry? Yeah. Uh-huh. What'd you get, Mary? Liver. Yeah. I thought that's what it was, Harry. He starts to bother me, just cuff him behind the ear. I sure will, Harry. Hi. What kind of dog is he, Harry? Doberman, is that right? They make great watchdogs, don't they? Nearly tore the burglar to pieces before you could get him off. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Boy, you're a pretty dog. What I like of what, Harry? A drink. Yeah, a drink would be fine, Harry. Scotch and water. You aren't going to have to leave the room, are you, Harry? Harry! Harry! Hi there, fella. I don't suppose you want to get down, boy, do you? Just stay like this. You want to play a little game, boy? Want to chase the fountain pen, boy? Chase the fountain pen, boy. There you go, boy. Boy, you're a fast little dog, aren't you? Want to give me back the fountain pen, boy? Don't want to give me back the pen, huh, boy? Chew it up good. That's the way, boy. Swallow it, boy. Maybe it'll stick in your... Hi, Harry. Yeah, we're getting along just fine. No, he isn't bothering me at all. Oh, all right. Well, if you want to tell him to get down. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Why, he sure looks harmless just laying there on the floor, doesn't he? Yeah, he chewed my fountain pen, Harry. Kind of looks like a chow there with that blue tongue, doesn't he? Oh, my drink, yeah. What'd I do, Harry? Any sudden movements, is that right? He was trained that way, was he? Where'd you get him from, Harry? The army. Whose army, Harry? Why'd they let him go, Harry? Don't tell me what he did to the general, Harry, would you? It was the general's fault, though. He acted afraid of the dog, did he? And they can sense that, is that right? Just appear at ease on that. That'll make him relax. That sure makes a lot of sense, Harry. Or you just cross your legs or say, a little too sudden was that, Harry? Let go, boy. No. Don't be silly. No, the suit's almost a month old, Harry. Don't be silly. No, he hardly broke the skin, Harry. Would I like to see him what? Do his trick. What's his trick, Harry? Roll over? Play dead, maybe, Harry? No? Make my hand into a fist and act like I'm going to attack you. I believe you, Harry. I believe. Harry, listen, Harry, I got to be going. No, I don't need any more ice, Harry. Harry, don't take. I don't need any. Harry. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. What are you growling at, boy? The gumdrops. You want some of the gumdrops, boy? Hey. Boy, you don't even chew it, do you, fella? You want some more gumdrops, boy, do you? More gumdrops, fella. Yeah, hi, Harry. Oh, we're getting along fine now. We're real pals. Boy, he sure loves those gumdrops, doesn't he? Only trouble is, when they're all gone, he doesn't understand. They're almost gone now, Harry. You want to fill the dish up with some more gumdrops? You don't have any more gumdrops. It's the last one, boy. All gone. Last one. Let go, boy. Boy, let go. Where's he dragging me, Harry? Harry, get some more gumdrops. Harry!
Bob Newhart with routines taken from The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, The Button-Down Mind Strikes Back, and The Bob Newhart on TV. Or is that The Button-Down Mind on TV? Excuse me. And that'll do it for tonight's edition of Funny Stuff. If you'd like to send any suggestions, complaints, comments, whatever, the address is Bob Claster with a C, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I'd like to mention, I got a letter, a wonderful letter from a man named Jim Moat, who heard the program on baseball. And he, as it turns out, is a collector of baseball stuff, and he has a collection of baseball comedy, which is much more esoteric than the stuff I have. And as a result, for the World Series, we'll be doing a special featuring his collection. If you have a collection of any special category of comedy, I talked on the phone to a man who collects, who's a doctor and collects medical humor. As it turns out, I never heard from him again. But if you fall in this category, drop me a line and let me know what you've got. Oh, what theme ran out. Let's hear it again. Let's see. We got some time. There we go. I like having it behind me. If you have a collection of any sort of comedy that you'd like to bring down to the station, drop me a line and we'll talk about it. I gave the address. Let's see. Upcoming shows. That's a good idea. Next week we'll be listening to the comedy of Lily Tomlin. And the week after that, we'll be listening to a program which should be a lot of fun. It's a program of musical parodies. There's a British group called the Heebie Jeebies who have an album out that's terrific. They do just devastating send-ups of Kenny Rogers and the Bee Gees and all sorts of people. We'll be listening to that and Joe Piscopo's impression of Frank Sinatra and some of Stan Freeberg's Elvis Presley stuff. And all sorts of stuff. It should be a lot of fun. That's coming up 2 weeks from tonight. And I think that's about it. This'll do it for this edition of Funny Stuff. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for joining me and reminding you to keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.